we're blessed in so many levels. You guys are our family, and we're so glad to be here. Pastor and Terry, thank you for making us feel welcome. And so good to see all of you guys here. Some faces that we've never met before, and some who've we used to haunt this place with. I see Eric and Britt's here. Hi, Britt. And we're just blessed to be here. As Pastor said, Ginger and I have been with Youth with a Mission in California. And if you don't know about Youth with a Mission, we're a missions organization that is international, worldwide, and very diverse. Even though the word youth is in the title, we function all the way from the youngest of kids to the oldest of the old. Everybody gets involved. And if you have a desire to grow in your relationship with Jesus and then turn around and go make him known, that's the stuff we do, which really is the stuff we all do. Amen. And in our expression in California, we have a uniqueness in that we don't just do discipleship schools and the sending, but we also have a property where we're able to host camps and conferences and conventions and things where people come together. It's a gathering place for the body of Christ in the region, and we're beginning to see God move in some amazing ways, and he's doing some pretty awesome stuff. And we're almost there 10.5 years now, and it's amazing that so much time has gone by. In some ways it feels like it's flown by, and we come back and visit and we realize, time's been going by here too, and it's just so good to see everybody again. So we really feel like we are an extension of New Life Church, and it's good to make that connection. I thank you for that. We really feel supported by you all, and it's an amazing time to be able to be here. And and I should say too, we weren't planning to be here this holiday season, and it really turned out well that we were able to come. And it was kind of last minute we found out that some of our family situation is shifting. Ginger's sister is moving away, and so that was kind of the impetus to get out the door and just get here. And it really has been an amazing time. So thank you so much. Well, this morning, I want to share something, and you know, everything, just like Pastor said, everything that's been said, so far has been, the Lord really is setting us up for, a specific word. And before I get into that, I just want to say too, we're getting ready, Ginger and I are getting ready to be part of a school that is starting up at the base. And I have a brief video that I just want to show you real quick. But a couple of dear friends of ours are beginning a work. And I got invited to jump in as a worship leader. And the school is called the Power School. All right, it's really cool. Hey, what name the Power School? But it's prayer, worship, and revival. Just take the vowels out or add them in. And we didn't even plan it that way. My friend John comes to me and says, I really feel like God wants to do something in the way of prayer and worship. And he wants to bring revival. And he says, I really feel like we need to call it the Prayer, Worship, and Revival School. And he writes it down and he goes, oh my gosh, that's the consonants for power. I'm like, so he's all excited about that. And it's going to be kind of a shorter school, 4 weeks of lecture, and then we're going to hit the road for 4 weeks. there was a prophetic word given not too long ago about revival coming to the west coast of our country. And so we're going to get a chance to go to Southern California and get with Lou Engel and receive some impartation and another gal in our mission. And then we're going to go to Washington State where God's doing some things. And then in our area, there's some things that God wants us to engage in and people to get with. But, anyway, I'm going to let John and Jana knock. These are our friends. I'm going to let them just share a brief word about it so you can kind of see what's going on.
So we're putting together a video for you.
Just for you.
That's right. We want
to tell you. We're such dorks.
We want to tell you a little bit about an upcoming school that we are passionate about. It's called the School of Prayer, Worship, and Revival, Power School. And that starts March 1st here at the YWAM Chico base. And Jenna's going to tell you a little bit about it.
Our heart for the school is for obviously prayer, worship, and revival, but to gather a company of people that are walking in those anointings and want to explore the heart of the Father in those areas even more through organic times of worship, through times of instruction. We've got some really dynamic speakers that are going to be coming our way for about 3 or 4 weeks, and then we're going to hit the road. We're going to be traveling from California all the way up to Washington, joining other revivalists, going and sitting at the feet of mothers and fathers and current leaders in those areas to just receive impartation and be together and see what Holy Spirit wants to do. And I think really one of the things that I'm most excited about is the organic nature of the school and allowing Holy Spirit to just lead every one of our days and all of our weeks together and just learn what it means to be a family that is in community together. Yeah.
What she's basically saying is that we don't know what we're going to do each day.
Don't tell anyone.
But God does.
There is more to it. Is there any? Was that it? Okay, we dropped out. Anyway, I'll just jump in then. So the idea behind it is going to be that we're going to have just 4 weeks of time to really hear from some teachers who spent time in the areas of prayer and worship and revival, the history of revival, especially in on the West Coast, and then we have a gal coming down from Bethel Church who she's the revival pastor at Bethel Church. Kind of exciting to hear from her, and then Lou Engel, who you've heard of Lou Engel, I'm sure, and a handful of other people, and we're just excited to be a part of this because God's doing something that the body of Christ is going to be affected by in a huge way. God is anticipating an amazing movement of people responding to His Spirit. Amen. And so we're excited about that time. So that's going to start in March. That is a school right now that you do not have to have done a DTS in YWAM. The DTS, the Discipleship Training School, is kind of the entry school to everything else. But this is one that, as of right now, you do not have to have done that. So I just want to throw it out there in case anybody's interested. So there's touch cards in the lobby. Ginger stuck some in there. So, all right. Anyway, that was the plug for the school. You know what we're getting into. And be praying for us because right now we have a handful of students who've registered, and we're believing God for 30 students. So it's going to be exciting. So I want to share this morning from one of my favorite words that Jesus shared. And you know, he spoke a lot of parables, a lot of stories that were his way of giving the disciples a snapshot of the Father's character. He said, I came for a couple of purposes, and one of the big purposes was so that we could see what the Father's like. Amen? Before Jesus came, people's view of God and God's nature was essentially through the law, through the prophets. The prophets spoke, they heard from God, and then they spoke, and then they observed things that God had done. And so that was the lens by which they could see God. So Jesus comes and he's this new thing. And he was terribly exciting. He's terribly interesting, and he offended all kinds of people because this was not what they expected God to be like, right? This different view of the Father's nature. Anyway, the story of the prodigal son is one I know that we've all heard, but we're going to start there. Jesus said there was a man. I'm in Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 24. If you want to follow me, I think it will be up behind me here. Give you a minute. Father, we just thank you this morning for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you for your word to us. We thank you for what you've already done and said this morning, Lord. We recognize that you're at work in some powerful ways, and we do not want to stand in the way of that, but we want to be vessels and conduits for what you're doing. And so we just open our hands wide, and we say, yes, Lord. And we want to receive what you have for us this morning in the name of Jesus. And give me the right words. Amen. All right. Verse 11. Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had, and he took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. So this was one hungry dude. He wanted to eat pigs' food, and still no one fed him. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I should perish, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. I love this passage because you can sit down and have a study on this as a group and just go so many different directions. There's just so many layers of truth that God would communicate in this passage. But I like the, we didn't read it, but the part about the older brother, the Lord hit me a while ago. Very often we think this passage is about the son that returned, you know. And it's really about the father. This is a story about the father and how he dealt with two sons. And I found myself being the older son. You know, Lord convicted me. This morning, the Lord in his great wisdom brought me to another thing, and I want to talk this morning about grace. The grace of God is so important in our lives, and right now there's a movement in, and we're finding it where we're at in California. People are calling it the grace movement. You heard of that? The grace movement. And it's really important that we understand grace because this is God's provision in our lives. It's the resourcing of your spirit man. It's God's promise to us. Amen. And we've all heard about cheap grace. People are like, you know, God's gracious, you know. And I think a lot of times we confuse grace with mercy. You ever find that? We even do that just casually. If you know, you're late on a bill and you call AT&T, hey, I'm trying to get this out the door, and I just got paid, and I'm sending you this this payment. And what would AT&T say? Ah, it's okay. There's a grace period, and you're going, oh, I'm so glad. Thank you for grace. You know, you're walking around. You know, gosh, she's so graceful. You know, what does that mean? We take grace sometimes, and we confuse it with mercy. AT&T had the chance to squash me and say, buddy, you're a day late, dollar short, we're pulling the plug. But they don't, and that's mercy. Amen? And we call somebody graceful, right? And that simply means to be, you know, very well. I'll just read it here. The definition of grace is the standard Kenneth Hagin definition of grace: unmerited favor coming from God. The Webster's Dictionary says unmerited divine assistance given to humans by God for their regeneration or sanctification. That's a mouthful. Or it says it's a state of sanctification enjoyed through divine grace. Okay, I wouldn't disagree with any of that. But sometimes we confuse it with mercy, and Webster's Dictionary defines mercy as compassion or forbearance shown especially to an offender or to one subject to one's own or to a subject, one who is subjected to your own power. Also, it's lenience or compassionate treatment. For example, imprisonment rather than the death penalty. You know, we're going to show mercy. Paul said in Romans 1:17, he said, to all of those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's using the word grace in a specific way, and I want to talk just for a minute about this word he used, saints. Any saints in the room? Oh, good. We got some saints in here. That's exactly right. Okay, so let's try this. How many of you have experienced the life-changing salvation of our Lord? You've come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. All right. So for everybody who clapped their hands or put their hands in the air, guess what? You're a saint. Okay. One thing that drives me crazy, and I keep hearing this from people who should know better, they'll say, and I'm sure you've heard it, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And that sounds really, really holy, right? That sounds really, you know. But I want to tell you this morning that that was true at one moment in your life. Amen. One time. Do you sin? Yeah, we're going to sin. It's just, you know. But we have the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives to help us not do that. Amen? Amen. So at one point in time, you were a sinner. That was your identity. Right? The mercy of God came into your life, and you had this encounter with the Holy Spirit, and you were regenerated. So at one point in time, you were a sinner saved by grace. Okay? Now you are a saint walking and living in grace. Amen? Amen? Okay, so a lot of what we deal with in the body of Christ is we have an identity crisis. We're not sure who we are. Do you look at yourself in the mirror and say, "All right, Saint Sean, here's my son up here talking about, you know, superhero powers." You know what? As a saint, you've been given some pretty super power. Okay, you don't have to have a cape or a mask or a you know, special name or spandex. You know, but you stand before the Lord, and you have a new identity, and you have been imbued with some pretty amazing power. The Bible says that if the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you, I mean, what is it we do? You know, you're a saint. You know, so that. That change of address in your spirit should change your perspective on a lot of things. Okay? So mercy was applied to your life. And here. All right? James 2:13. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You know what? Mercy is all about something that you deserved, okay? That's a past tense word. All right, God showed you mercy. Now it's your job to show mercy, all right? You're a carrier, okay? But mercy is all about something that you did deserve, all right? And our key word, I like this, because grace and mercy are sisters. Okay, and the reason they're sisters is because they're connected by this key idea that there's something we deserve. The word deserve. Okay, every one of us deserved punishment. Every one of us deserved to be separated from God. Okay, mercy is the word that deals with that. Okay, Jesus died for us, rose again. And now he's coming again, okay? And so there's this whole thing that God dealt with in his mercy. And now there's another part of the deserve. We don't deserve something, and that's called grace. Okay? So we're the thing that we do deserve, God flipped over, and we don't get that. That's called mercy. All right. Got that? All right. But the thing we don't deserve is that he would come and he would fill us with his very nature. He would fill us with his power, that he would give us his Holy Spirit. And that's one of the beautiful things about this situation. Let's go back to our story. My friend here who asked his dad for his share of the inheritance, in that day, to do that was a pretty low thing to do. This is back in Luke chapter 15 again, and he says, "Dad, I'd like to have my share of the inheritance." And that was something you only got when your dad passed away. That's like saying, "I wish you were dead. I want the inheritance more than I want relationship." Okay? And so Dad, in his love for his son, splits up what he has, and he gives his son the inheritance, and his, you know the story, takes off and blows it. And this key verse here in chapter 17, he came to himself. Suddenly he had an aha moment. Paul prays for the saints in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, I pray that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay? This guy got some wisdom and revelation. He came to himself. He goes, I just realized what I've been doing. All right? Which, by the way, is a great thing to pray for people that you know need to come to themselves. They need a revelation from God. We call that an apostolic prayer. Pray that if you have loved ones that are just away from the Lord. Pastor's talking about, this is the year for the prodigals to come in. Pray, Lord, give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He's the revealer. He's the one who can open their eyes. Anyway, I digress. So the guy comes to himself and he says, if I could just, and he practices this thing. He says, I will arise and go to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So he's got this thing all practiced. He's gonna, all right, here's how I'm gonna do it. Standing before his mirror, he sees himself as a sinner. He's saying, okay, I'm gonna lay it out like this. Maybe he'll have mercy on me. So he's ready to go. Okay. It's his best clothes on that he has, and he slicks his hair back and you know what? I'm sure the whole way home he's practicing this thing in his mind. I'm gonna say it just like this. My dad's probably going to react like that, and I'm just going to appeal to him, and I love it. I love what happens. And he says, he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced and kissed him. His dad caught him by surprise. He's like, "Oh, you're, I'm going to see him and I'm going to say this and I'm going to, and oh my gosh, here he comes running. Is that my dad?" And dad shows up. Isn't that awesome? What a picture. And so he's all ready to say his thing. And the son said to his son, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, he didn't even let him finish. He had this whole thing ready to go. Didn't even let him finish. And he said, "Quickly, bring the best robe, put it on him, the ring on his hand, the shoes on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. Let us eat and celebrate. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found." And they began to celebrate. See, I think sometimes what we expect from God in terms of our lives is we expect mercy. See, God doesn't expect us to live in mercy, all right? If you're constantly living in a place where you need mercy, guess what's happening? You don't know who you are. God doesn't expect you to live in a place where you constantly need mercy. He wants us to live in grace. And it has a lot to do with how we define the words. Amen? And I believe that a lot of it is because in our culture we see them in kind of a skewed fashion, and the Bible uses the words in a specific way. Okay, grace is an empowerment. Grace is God showing up and doing everything in your life that you can't do. Because if it's up to me, I'm gonna fail, I'm gonna sin, I'm gonna go through cycle after cycle after cycle, fall on my face, okay? Jesus said, hey, a righteous man keeps getting up, alright? He was preparing us for the grace of the Holy Spirit that was coming. All the law could give us was an appeal for mercy. Because why? Because we know we failed. There's not enough. There's not enough to meet that righteous requirement. Amen? But grace was given so that we could meet that righteous requirement in Jesus. Okay? If you notice, he only died one time. So he doesn't stay on the cross and going, are you done yet? I don't want to get down yet, because if you're not done, I'll just stay here. He did it one time for us. And that's all that was needed. The Holy Spirit was given after Jesus died and rose again. That's all that was needed. Holy Spirit shows up and says, hey, let's go. I'm here for you. The Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. Okay? Amen? So grace gets me excited, because once we figure out that grace isn't mercy, mercy is mercy, all right? Grace is pretty awesome stuff. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 7 says, but when the goodness and the loving kindness of our God and Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, who poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to hope and eternal life. So God did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And that's when we realize that God's called us into a life that we could not do. I remember my dad, when I was growing up, went through a really hard divorce. And he's told me the story 1,000 times, but I realized he said it this many times because it really had an impact on it. He was on his knees praying at one point, and the pain of that was debilitating. How many of you have ever gone through debilitating pain? Either a broken relationship, an offense. I mean, who knows? Debilitating pain where you just can't go on. And my dad's prayer was simply, God, you're going to have to do it. If you want me to live righteous, if you want me to get over this and pass this, you're going to have to do it. And you know what happened? God did it. The grace of God filled his life, and he was able to walk that out. What's grace for? Romans 6, 1 and 2, Apostle Paul asks the question. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? This is confusing sometimes, because this is an area where we almost think, oh, he's using the word like mercy. Are we going to continue sinning so mercy can keep coming? You know, Paul says, we'll just keep sinning and more mercy will keep coming. But that's not what he says. He says, are we going to keep sinning so grace can abound? See, God's waiting for us to look to him and get our eyes off of ourselves. I think something I've struggled with and something I've encountered a lot is that we have a bigger sin awareness in our lives than we do a God awareness. We're more aware of the power of sin and temptation in our lives than we are of the power of God. And so we, you know, oh God, help me. Oh, I'm just, oh, there it is. Oh, there it is again. And we cycle. Oh, there's, oh. And we do this little hamster in the, you know, in the maze thing. We don't look up, you know. We just keep hitting the walls. But once we could get our eyes off of ourselves and off of sin, guess what happens? God gives us the grace to overcome sin. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us, the NIV says, teaching us to renounce ungodliness, I like the way the NIV says it, teaches us to say no. Remember Nancy Reagan, her, the whole just say no thing? The grace of God teaches us to say no to sin and to our worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. That's the power of God in your life. Grace isn't a get-out-of-jail-free card. That was mercy. You were a sinner saved by grace at one point in time. Now you're a saint, walking and living in His grace. Amen? So I want to close with one more little perspective here. And I put this together when I was doing a word study, and I just found it fascinating. So this is in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 and 8. Apostle Paul's talking about grace again. What is it with that guy? He says, "For the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." Okay, so we're going to go further. "For as one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one in the body. And individually we are members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us." See the word gifts? The word grace. "Let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity, the one who leads, lead with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy, do it with cheerfulness." So here's a fun thing, and this was kind of like, yes, this is it. The grace that I'm talking about in the Greek, that word is charis, charis. That's our English word for the, or English spelling for the Greek word, charis. And our Greek word for the gifts of the Spirit is charismata. It's also the root word for charismatic, right? The gifts of the Spirit are rooted in the grace and the empowerment of God. So, we all like the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Who here likes the gifts of the Spirit? Right? You know why they're important in your life? Why are they important? Someone tell me. What'd you say? They're the tools. It's good. What else? The equipping of the saints. You read ahead. I think you saw my notes. What else? Okay. Our ability to minister, right? God has to be a part of that happening. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Our ability to hear God. Amen. That's good. So here's a neat connection that I really feel like is important for us this morning, is that in order to do the stuff that God's called us to do, and every one of us has gifts that He's given us. Nobody in here can walk out and say, I really don't have anything. Somewhere in the nine gifts, you have the ability to hear from God, speak the words of the Spirit, share something that reveals something hidden, do acts of faith. Now, we don't all have the same gifts, obviously, but just like in every family, there's always somebody who's got a strong personality, and there's someone who's really good with numbers, and there's someone who's really good with kids, and there's someone who's really good with, you know, every family has this balance, right? Have you noticed that? And you get a good organization together that gels well. Same thing. You've always got somebody who's good in this and somebody who's good in that. And well, that's actually God's idea. You get the body of Christ together, And we are truly the we're not just representatives. We're his hands and feet on the earth. And so in the letter to the Corinthians, Paul's telling us, hey, you've got the ability to be the eye, and someone else has the ability to be the hand, and someone else has the ability to be this other part. And nobody can look at anyone else and say, hey, you don't fit. I don't want to be together with you. Okay? Well, guess what? We can't live without each other. All right. So all that to say that every single one of us has been given something of the Spirit to equip the saints, to evangelize, to make Jesus known in the earth, to do miracles, to see the Spirit move. You're a walking revival bomb. Okay? And that doesn't happen without the grace of God, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So you have great need of grace. You have great need of the empowering of God's Spirit. Amen? Amen. Ephesians 4:11 and 13 says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to the body, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen? Yes. So this morning you are called to do many things. You're called to be part of the body. You're called to be saints. And God, by His grace, has not just filled you with His power, but He has much more for you to step into if we allow ourselves to receive, continually receive from Him. Amen? And so I just want to encourage you that God has made available something amazing. If the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you, then you are capable of much. So, he says elsewhere, desire spiritual gifts, desire to prophesy, desire to equip the body. You know, we've all walked away from situations where I knew I should have said something. I had the chance. I didn't say the thing that got him. You know what? Don't worry about looking like a fool or wondering what people will think. Ginger and I are living and ministering in a place where we're training our kids to do these things. And so we take them out on the street. Kids are prophesying to homeless people. And they're encountering the power of God because kids are fearless. They don't care what anyone thinks, you know. And we adults are going, I need to learn to do that. Kids don't get a junior Holy Spirit. They have the same Holy Spirit I do. I'm the one walking around with all the inhibitions, you know. I look in the mirror, and I've got to go, okay, St. Sean, God has given me his Spirit. So God has given you His Spirit and the grace to do everything that He's called you to do. Amen? Amen. So I just want to encourage you with that this morning. And, how many of you this morning have been baptized in the Holy Spirit before? Awesome. How many of you are operating in gifts? Have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, you've given me gifts. What are they? Ask Him. Ask Him. Paul said, desire after spiritual gifts. And everybody prophesies. One person's going to sound one way and someone else is going to sound something else. Don't worry about it. Let it get messy. That's okay, right? Messy's okay. All right. Messy's okay. I know in some places messy's like, whoa, not messy. Messy's okay. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. I really don't have anything in mind in terms of a time of ministry, but I do want to just speak over you. We thank you, Lord, that you come running. Father, you saw us down the road. And the desire in our hearts, many of us, was mercy, and you came running with grace. You didn't want to just save us from hell, but you wanted to make us those who snatch people out of hell by the power of your Spirit. You've given us your ability to do that. And you put a robe on us and a ring on our finger and sandals on our feet. And you call us saints. You call us sons and daughters. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends, because servants don't know the master's business. But you've called us to yourself. And we get to participate in the family business. That's to seek and save the lost, to destroy the works of the evil one, and to show the world what the Father looks like. And we just thank you for that. Lord, we thank you too that we no longer live under the law, but that Jesus came to fulfill that, and that he's given us grace. Your Spirit's given us grace. Just put your hands out in front of you. Just like I'm going to hand you something. Just put your hands out in front of you. And just look at Jesus for a minute. Thank you so much, Lord, for your faithfulness in our lives. And Father, we know that sometimes we pray prayers that are too small. We don't even know that we don't know. And this morning we want to pray a big prayer. We just ask, Lord, that as we move forward in the calling that we each have before you, that you would increase us. That you would fill us with every bit of strength and power that you desire us to have. You're the one who fills us with your Spirit. And so we desire, Lord God, every gift, every grace that you intend for us to have. We want to walk in that. Do you agree with me? Yeah. So just pray right now. Say, fill me, Lord. Empower me, Lord. Give me dreams and visions. Give me an understanding of who you've called me to be. A saint. Not a sinner. But you've given me your grace to do everything you've called me to do. To do the work of the ministry. To equip the saints. To raid hell. To empty it. To populate heaven. And to be like Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit.
Thank you for your Holy Spirit.
The same one that raised Jesus from the dead.
The same one that raised Jesus from the dead.
I just receive all that right now.
I receive all that right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Bless you guys.